Alright, Christian, everyone.
Hold on a second. My computer is playing back everything I'm saying. So, I am broadcasting from the basement of a devotee's home in Rochester, New York, where I'm staying right now. So, it probably doesn't look like it normally looks. So you all have to tell me if it's okay, and if you can hear me, if there's any problem. And I'll just wait a second to hear from you all. Manjesh. ISKCON is here. Oh my God. The personification of ISKCON. Udi's here. Sama. And where's Bhaktin Carol? She is somewhere, I think. So it's looking great right now. So it's going to be getting darker. Sound quality is good. It's going to be getting darker. So you all just have to let me know when the sun goes down. The light should get better, I think. Okay. So before I forget, I'm going to tell you a few times. Maybe you already know, but we're going to be doing an official online course on forgiveness, myself and another devotee named Archana Siddhi, who is a counselor. And this course is going to be interactive. There's going to be a little homework. It's going to be an hour and a half, and it's going to be, we're really going to go into it very, very deeply. So if you still feel you need help, then send me an email. I'll give you my email address, and I'll send you the information. Mahat@AOL.com. Send me an email, and I'll send you all the information. It's going to start July 27th. That's 2 weeks. It's going to go for 6 weeks. We have a very sophisticated interface. We'll be teleconferencing. We'll be sending you audio files and other things, readable files. It's well worked out. Or you can call 888-JAPA. Retreat. No, 888-JAPA-108. That's a phone number. If you write me, you can get more details, or you can call JAPA-108. We're going to limit the number of people we have because it can in this format it cannot be effective if there's too many people. So if you're interested, then I suggest you look into it right away. And then I'll mention this later. So this I decided would be the last show I'm going to do on forgiveness. And then I decided that we're going to continue on the subject of Vaishnava relationships. And we're going to start with Vaishnava aparad. It seems like a negative way to start, but it's an important way. Because I think that since we've been talking about forgiveness, then Vaishnava aparad, it fits well in that. And so this is going to be the last class. And I want to take it a little bit deeper than we've taken it. I also want to summarize it. And if you have any questions, this is your last class. Oh, someone's saying, why is there a charge for the course? Very good question. We use a sophisticated software. And we actually have to rent this software from a company, and it's very expensive to rent. And then also what we do is, you're on the internet at the same time you're on a telephone, but with this software you can raise your hand, you're called on, you can chat, you can speak. And we also break up into smaller groups, so we can have 10 or 15 people. We can break you up into groups of four each. We can break you up into groups of two people. So we may give you a topic to discuss with another person. So it has the feel of a live seminar. Not the feel, but it has the functions of a live seminar. And then we can do things, we can show you videos. We can do work online. We can put files. We can show you. Whatever we need to show you, you can see it while we're talking. And we can actually, all of us in the class can be working on the project, like there's a blackboard, and we can all be writing on it at the same time. In order, and the telephone is connected with the software, And we have to pay for that. And it costs a bit of money to pay for each class. So, and it also requires a tremendous amount of work to prepare it. It's more difficult than preparing a live course. So there's lots and lots of work and there's lots of cost involved. So that's why we have to charge. And there's a few devotees that work full time to develop this. And they like to eat, so they need a little money to eat. So I know that we're not used to paying much for these things, but if you'll see, it's a very, very effective process. Plus, everyone who takes the course gets individual counseling, which is kind of interesting because the devotee, Archana City, I said, is a counselor, and she actually charges $100 an hour for counseling. That's the going rate. I mean, she's got a degree in psychology, and she's a very good devotee. So just the times you'll get in counseling would cost more than the entire six-week class. So there's a lot of good things about it. And Greg, he's here. We missed you, I think, last time. Okay. Patrick is late. He was chanting rounds. Okay, we'll forgive him. Good excuse. Okay. If you're chanting your rounds, of course, one time the devotee's Prabhupada was in Mayapur and he was walking and he saw one of the bathrooms. In those days, they were outhouses, and he saw that it was dirty. And Prabhupada said, "Why isn't it clean?" He said, "Oh, everybody's chanting japa." And Prabhupada said, "Oh, you're chanting japa. Good excuse. There's no excuse. First clean, then finish your rounds." Anyway, so broken ribs. Oh, what does that mean? I forgot to send the phone number if you want to call for the japa workshop. For the forgiveness interactive course we're doing. And I'll mention that again, and you can always email me. Okay, so now, because this is the last class, we're going to go a little deeper. Are you ready to go deeper? This is really, really important. Now, it's important because there is a stage we can come to, a stage of understanding, where holding on to resentment will seem more and more unsuitable for a devotee and seem more and more ridiculous and more counterproductive. And I want to hopefully get us there tonight if we're not already there. Now, you may remember that Prabhupada said, don't be angry with the messenger of your karma. Don't be angry with the messenger of your karma. And we know that whatever happens to us is coming to us because of something we've done, perhaps even something we've thought on a subtle level. And I'm sure you all most likely have experience. That's a contradiction. I'm sure most likely. Let me say that again. I'm sure you all have experience that thinking in a certain way attracts certain things to you in your life, and thinking in another way attracts a different set of experiences. Those of us who have done book distribution know that if we're not in good consciousness when we distribute books, it seems that we run into all kinds of people who are mad and angry and unkind to us. And it seems like when we're in the proper mood, we run into all the nice people and all the people that are kind to us. And the funny thing is that sometimes we have the experience of distributing books next to another devotee, and one of us would be having a good day and one of us would be having a bad day, but we're in the exact same location. But one of us would be only meeting nice, friendly people who wanted to take books, and the other one of us would only be meeting people who didn't want to take books, who seemed to have something out for us and would be very nasty towards us. And we know from experience of doing this day in and day out that it was actually the way we're thinking that was attracting this. And you can experiment with this in your own life. If you think a certain way towards people, things change. I even heard a story where a person was having a problem with a department manager in her company, and she decided to change her attitude towards that person. Ooh, I'm in an office here, and the phone is ringing. So I can't control that. So she decided to change her attitude, and she really was having difficulty with a person, and she changed her attitude towards that person. And when she got back to work on Monday, that person had been transferred from that department. It was very interesting. And one person who told that story, his comment was that her boss was teaching her something. She might have been taught that you need to be more kind or more tolerant or less judgmental, whatever it was. And so when she changed her attitude, then she didn't need that boss to teach her anything anymore. So this is an important principle of forgiveness, because Prabhupada's telling us who's ever coming to us to hurt us is really a messenger of our karma. And we have discussed before that when our karma comes, it comes in the form of a lesson. Krishna is not punishing us, or Krishna is not causing us any difficulty unless there's a good reason, and the reason is always that we learn something. So I want to ask you the question. Now, if you have a problem with someone you don't like, someone who has upset you, who has let you down, and you're feeling resentment towards them, let's look at it another way. And I'm going to ask you the question that you can ask yourself. And the question is simply this: what is that person teaching me? It's a very wonderful way to look at the situation, because now we have an issue with the person. We're thinking the person hurt us. The person is what we might call a victimizer. So this person is ruining my life because of what they've done. They may have done it many years ago, and my life is still ruined because of it. Let us look at it in another way. What is that person teaching us? What was I supposed to learn by that? And I think you should write this down. If you immediately can't understand what that person was meant to teach you, write it down, and write that question down. What is this person teaching me? Now, the next point is, if I don't learn the lesson, it's likely I could attract other people in my life who are going to teach me the same lesson. Now, I want to tell you something, experience that I have. It's not my personal experience, but it's an experience of a friend of mine. And this friend occasionally would write me and tell me of certain difficulties he was having. And the difficulties he was having were very similar to difficulties he was having in the past, or had many times in the past. So it was a little easier for me to see that because of his attitude, people around him were treating him in a particular way. There's a saying that you teach people how to treat you. I don't know if you ever heard that. You teach people how to treat you. If you lack respect for yourself, you might be teaching people to treat you that way. If you respect yourself, you might be teaching people by your attitude to also be respectful towards you. This particular devotee was disrespected quite often. And I know that this devotee has a very low opinion of himself. So it was interesting for me to look at that it seems that he might be creating a situation in which people are continually treating him a certain way. And there's a lesson there. Whatever that lesson may be, there's a lesson for him. So rather than talking about how he was mistreated or treated unkindly, he could talk about why people are treating me this way. What am I supposed to learn? Perhaps my attitude towards them is disrespectful. That's another process. So I'm teaching them to disrespect me because I disrespect them. I don't honor them. I don't have a loving attitude towards them. So I'm teaching them to be unkind to me. These are things we need to look at, because the whole problem in letting forgiveness go is we're blaming somebody. And when we come to the point where we can see that my victimizer is my teacher. I'm going to write that down. It's pretty powerful. My victimizer, which is not a word, but if you write victimizer on Word, it's going to have a red line under it. So, but my victimizer is my teacher. That's a very interesting concept, isn't it? My victimizer is my teacher. Krishna has sent me this person to teach me something. We normally don't think that way. If we do think that way, what's going to happen? We're going to learn a lesson. We're going to advance, and then we're going to look back at it and say, this was good. This was a lesson for me. I needed to learn something. And I can see now, or if I learn it, this problem will not surface again in my life. People will not treat me this way, or these difficulties will not come. If you notice in your own life, you may see certain patterns repeat themselves. So by the way we think and the way we behave, we attract certain situations, either good or bad. If we're attracting bad situations, maybe we need to learn to be more kind. Maybe we need to learn to be more respectful. Maybe we need to learn to be more empathetic. Maybe we need to learn to be more understanding. These are all, of course, qualities that a devotee should possess. So this is really, really, if we want to take forgiveness really to the deepest level, and we want to understand it in relation to the principle of karma, and that karma is meant to teach us, then the person who has hurt us is really the messenger of our karma, but also the messenger with a lesson. So if we ask ourselves, what am I meant to learn from this? Then it's likely that we're going to learn something very deep about ourselves. Now, it's difficult to see what we're like because we're in our body looking out. Other people can see it better, but it's very advantageous for us as devotees to be open and see, do I have defects? Is this person actually teaching me that there's something wrong with me? We when we have resentment, we think there's something wrong with them, right? Nothing wrong with me, I didn't do anything wrong, there's something wrong with them. That may be true to a certain degree, but even though you may have not so-called done something wrong, somehow or other Krishna felt you needed to learn a lesson, and he sent somebody to do something to disturb you, to let you down, and therefore it caused you to feel this resentment. What is it? What is it that you need to learn? Now, this ties in with the principle of humility, and Damodar, I'm going to answer your question in a minute. Humility. What is humility, or what is one aspect of humility? One aspect of humility is the willingness to see one's own faults. Now, that becomes a problem sometimes because being raised in the society we are raised in, we can tend to be very negative about ourselves. And one may think, I'm already so negative about myself, why would I want to look at my faults? That's true. But at the same time, humility means to openly, to be able to look at one's faults, but not in a negative way. Not in a way that makes you feel so bad when you look at them, you want to kill yourself. You don't want to go on. You lose your enthusiasm. It's like, I'm so this or I'm so that. What's the use? Why go on? Spiritual humility is not exactly like that. Spiritual humility is that I see a fault, I acknowledge it, and then instead of being negative, I become positive. Here is an area I need to work on. For example, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, I think I mentioned, or you may know, said that if someone finds fault in me, he is my friend. In the Bible, it talks about a person giving you a valuable gem in the form of giving you advice or criticism, or advice how to improve. Now, normally, when someone finds fault with us or shows us ways in which we can improve, we defend ourselves. How can you say that? You have no right to say that. How do you know I'm like that? I'm not like that. In the Bible it says, no, it's very valuable information. Take it. Take what they're saying. Because you can't see it and utilize it. You'll improve yourself. So Bhaktisiddhanta is saying the same thing. The person is your friend, who is one who shows you have a problem here. And this problem is separating you from Krishna. And you can't see it. So if someone shows it to you, you say, thank you for showing that to me. Now I can work on this. And by working on this, I will come closer. I will improve my relationship with my guru and Krishna. So that's a valuable gem if someone helps you. But generally, we don't like that. So humility means to take the negative in a positive way. Does that make sense? If you can do that? Oh, I see from this experience of how this person treated me, perhaps I need to be more kind. And if I were more kind, they would have acted differently. Or perhaps I just needed to be more tolerant. Or perhaps what they did was wrong, but I became angry and that wasn't right. And Krishna is showing me I need to control my anger. So let's say, let's talk about anger, because resentment is a form of anger. So let's say, okay, I have a problem where I become easily disturbed, or too easily disturbed, I shouldn't be. And this issue of resentment, I see now it's bringing up, it's making me aware of that problem. So now I start looking at the problem. And one way you might want to look at it, if we're using this as an example, is what we read in Jiva Dharma. And in Jiva Dharma it said, when there's humility and compassion, there's forgiveness. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, or Babaji Maharaj, is the speaker of Jiva Dharma. He was speaking. It's a fiction book. But Babaji Maharaj is the guru, and he's speaking on different topics. So he was saying, a compassionate devotee would not want to hurt anyone. So if there's compassion, there will be forgiveness, because resentment is a form of anger or a form of punishment. Now, recently a devotee asked me how to control anger. And I made the same point to him. I said, anger hurts people. When you get angry at someone, it hurts them. It doesn't make them feel good. I don't know anyone who really feels good when somebody gets angry at them. So now, if we think at it from that point of view, I am supposed to be a devotee, I'm supposed to be kind, I'm supposed to be compassionate, I'm supposed to be sympathetic, empathetic, I'm supposed to be an ocean of mercy, an ocean of kindness, an ocean, shama. Shama is forgiveness. I'm supposed to be an ocean of forgiveness. Now, if I become upset with someone, it makes them feel bad. So, if I have an issue with anger, and Krishna's pointing it out through this hurt, then I might think, okay, I have an issue with anger, so my attitude of anger means I'm hurting people by being angry. Why would I want to hurt people? I'm a devotee, I would want to help people. So if we start working on the issue of anger, it may help us naturally just dissolve the resentment, because we don't want to be an angry individual, because we realize that my purpose in life is not to hurt people, but actually my mission is to serve. So this is just one example. I'm not saying this relates to everybody. But it's an example. If we look for the lesson, what's the lesson? What am I supposed to learn? Why did I attract this person into my life who acted this way? What did I do? What was I thinking? How was I acting? As opposed to, how could they have done this? I didn't deserve it. And they're rascals, or they're the filth of the universe. So this is really the transcendental position to take. And you may remember that I mentioned many times that if someone hurts us, we have to take it as fortune. I say, why is it a fortune? Because when someone hurts us and we're dealing with the hurt, we have to process it and we have to start asking these questions. Why did this person do it? How can I deal with it? What am I supposed to learn? How can I be more tolerant? How can I overcome this? How can I let it go? And as we said, to do all those things will require that you advance in Krishna consciousness. And that of course, is the goal of our life. So if a situation which is bad helps us advance in Krishna consciousness, then we can look at the situation and say, actually, in retrospect, this situation was good because this situation helped me. Now, when we're dealing with the issue of forgiveness, let's look at some of the things that it can do. We're talking here of Jiva Dharma, where it says compassion, humility and compassion. So we go back to the same points. If I look at what I'm supposed to learn, then I start looking at myself and say, what's wrong with me? What fault do I have? How did I create this situation? So that's causing us to be more open in looking at our own faults, which is what humility, or at least part of humility, is about. It's being open and honest in looking at our defects. So then we could say, if we do that, then this issue of this person hurting me has caused me to become more humble. Very good. And as we just talked, if we look at the issue of anger, I'm becoming angry, and I look at that issue and I realize I don't want to be angry because I don't want to hurt people, then the issue of the resentment that I'm dealing with has helped me become, enabled me to control my anger. And if we look at it from the point of view of compassion, and then we say, as I mentioned, I don't want to hurt this person. I don't want to speak ill of this person. I don't want to hold ill feelings in my heart, because that's not how a devotee acts. It's not how a devotee thinks. It's not how a devotee behaves. I want to only have positive feelings. I want to appreciate others. I want to see the good in others. That's the nature of a Vaishnava. I want to only see the good in others. So then I'll look at this and think, well, this person has hurt me, but if I want to be a compassionate devotee, I would not want to do anything to hurt that person. Okay? If the person hurt you very deeply, that's going to be a little harder, obviously. But it's still something you're going to look at. And if you can become a little bit more compassionate because of the incident, then just think, now you've become a more compassionate devotee, you've got more control of your anger, you've become more humble, and of course, part of the process of forgiveness is tolerance, just to be able to tolerate what happened. And then, if you can drop it, that requires detachment. Because a lot of what goes on when we're feeling resentful is we use the word, everybody uses the word, even non-devotees, you're holding on to this resentment. Why don't you just let it go? And then you think, well, I can't let it go. But actually you can. You're holding on to it. You're making the decision or choice to hold on to it. And I think early on in the class I gave the example that resentment is like holding on to a pencil and you can let it go. You're in control of doing that, but sometimes it's very, very difficult. But it's a form of detachment. So when we eventually let it go, then we're advancing a little bit in our detachment. You know, I'm holding on to, I may be holding on to an ill feeling about a devotee. I don't like a devotee. I was just hearing, who was telling this story. It's such a nice story. Yeah, they're telling, and I've told this story also, about how Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, they would have Ishtagostis, and he would make devotees glorify other devotees. Particularly, he would make them glorify devotees they didn't like. So this one devotee, when he was telling a story when he was a temple president, he did the same thing. And so he had an Ishtagosi and he picked two devotees that really didn't like one another. And one was, he just made up the names, Krishnadas and Bhaktadas. And they were like arch enemies. So they'd be having Ishtagosi. And he'd say, Krishnadas, can you say something nice about Bhaktadas? And then Krishnadas would just be speechless. And he would be asked again, can't you say anything nice about Bhaktadas? He's a devotee. And everybody would laugh. It was like, that's all he could say. He's a devotee. Can you say anything else nice about him? And they both played mridanga, and they both thought they were better, or there was some rivalry or conflict. And he said, well, he can play mridanga. That's all he said. Didn't say he played mridanga good. He said just he could play mridanga. So you could just imagine how he was feeling. I mean, the feelings that he had towards this devotee and how he's holding on to these feelings. Who knows how long he had these feelings and who knows how long he's going to hold on to these feelings. So the point is that often we have ill feelings towards another devotee, or it can be a non-devotee, it can be a relative or whatever. So it requires a little bit of detachment. Someone does something you don't like. They may be doing something you don't like now. It requires a little bit of detachment, or perhaps a lot of detachment, to just drop that feeling and somehow or other see the good in that person. So detachment is very important if we're feeling angry or if we're feeling upset about an individual, if somebody does something constantly we don't like. If we become a little detached, then it's possible to see the good. And if we don't, we're like attached to not liking them. You know, this idea, it's so woven around the idea that my standard is the standard by which I judge everyone. Whatever I do is the standard by which everyone is judged. And of course, it's a very egocentric way to see the world. So I don't like the way this person does something because I do it differently. So my subjective reality is that I set the standard of what's right and wrong. So that's ridiculous. And we all tend to think that way. So, you know, we can learn so much in the process of forgiving another person. It's so valuable. So that's why I began this course and I said, began saying today's lesson, what is this person who has hurt us? What are they teaching us? They can teach us so much. So rather than just blame them and be upset and carry this feeling, which is not the feeling that a Vaishnava wants to carry within his heart, a feeling of resentment, disappointment, and hatred, and all sorts of other emotions. It's not what a Vaishnava wants to feel in his heart. It's not even what a non-Vaishnava wants to feel in their heart. Nobody wants to feel that way. So rather than carry those feelings, if we are open enough to look at what this person is teaching us, then we can use that to carry the right feelings. And then we can say, oh, because I went through this process of forgiveness, then I was able to advance myself in so many ways in Krishna consciousness. Okay, now I'm going to go back to a question, because you have some questions, and I'm going to make another point, which is really, really wonderful. It's a really wonderful point, and I've never mentioned it. And if I don't mention it, ask me, because it's possible I can get sidetracked and forget. But it's a point about what happens after you forgive, how it changes your life. So remind me if I forget, okay? So Damodar is saying, is this talk part of a series on forgiveness? If so, would it make sense if this is my first? It's okay. If you go to krishna.com/mahatma, you can scroll down and listen to all the classes. I think this is number 11. But the point we're making here is both the beginning and the end. It's when you have issues of resentment, you're in the victim mode. I was hurt. And it's very interesting. I find it so interesting because as devotees, we understand how karma works. So you would think if someone really understands karma, they would never take the role of victim. They would always say, well, somehow or other, I must have done something to deserve this. But when we're hurt, it doesn't happen because it bypasses our intellectual understanding of it, and it just hurts in the heart, and it hits us in the heart. So then you would think, well, once that happens, wouldn't it go back to the intellect? Well, just because we understand something doesn't mean we feel it. So it's an interesting phenomena that, you know, we can know something so well, but at the same time not be able to feel it or live it. So really, in the forgiveness process, it begins with understanding somehow or other I created it and deserve it, and this person is a messenger of my karma. And it also ends with that what is this person teaching me? So through the whole process, we want to learn lessons, and then we can look back and say, well, actually, as this other author said, I was quite fortunate that this person hurt me. I learned such a wonderful lesson from two devotees, and I think I mentioned this in an article I wrote. And these devotees didn't like me. And I thought, there's something wrong with them. You know, if somebody doesn't like you, what's the first thing you think? Yeah, there's something wrong with them because everybody likes me. At least that's how I was thinking. At least nobody else came up and told me they didn't like me. So I thought, well, everybody must like me because nobody told me they didn't like me. But these devotees they told me they didn't like what I was doing. They were upset about it, and they told me again and again. So what happened was, years later, I reflected on the situation, why they reacted that way to me, and I realized that I was doing certain things and saying certain things that they were justified in being upset about. And at the time, I didn't realize it. So what I did was, instead of blaming them, I realized it was my fault. And as soon as I realized it was my fault, any ill feelings I had for them, they just immediately, they went away. I didn't have to do any kind of process of forgiveness or anything. I realized, no, it's my fault, it wasn't them. And then I wrote them an email and I apologized. I said, I'm sorry that I said these things. So when we change roles from being victimized to taking responsibility, then often, if we do it completely, often if it's not a really serious issue of resentment, like severe abuse over a long period of time or something like that, then often it just drops right away. So that's okay. I have to go way back up, so I'm like, you guys are way ahead of me on the chat. Okay. So Kremlin 69 is saying, Bhakti and Kara, okay, this is really important. Everybody, attention, everybody. Salute me, attention, you have to listen to this. Bhakti and Kara is saying something extremely important. And I want to address this because it fits in right with what we're talking about, and I have to find what she just said. I'm totally lost here. She said something like, okay, I have, Bhakti and Carol says, I have reoccurring problems. Every time I go to read it, this chat changes. This is getting frustrating. Okay, how come that happens? Okay. It says, I have reoccurring problems. When one person leaves, seems another comes who continues the same things. Okay, that's my point. So now you have to look at, okay, I don't know your situation. I want to tell another situation. A devotee wrote me a letter, and she had been married to a man who wasn't a good husband, who was abusive. So then she went through, she almost got married again, and the same thing happened. The man was very weak and a little wishy-washy. He was a devotee, a nice devotee at the time when she met him, but he was a little wishy-washy, and it didn't work out, and he kind of, again, got on the periphery of Krishna consciousness, as did her first husband. And so I asked her, I said, do you have a tendency to attract men who are weak? And she said, I never thought about it. And then she wrote me back and said, my mother told me that I had this tendency to want to help people, so I'd always attract people that needed help. And then she realized that, you know, she didn't need a husband who needed help. She needed a husband who was strong. And I've been told by other women that they have attracted men who had problems because that was their mood. And they got divorced. It didn't work out. One woman told me her husband who was a drug addict, and she kind of married him with the hope that she would help him, and she did help him, and later on he went back to drugs. And then she realized that she actually attracted that kind of man, and then later on she married a much better man because she changed her attitude. So that's something to look at, Bhakti and Carol, that it's possible to attract people in your life because of the way you are. And if you change the way you are, you will attract different kinds of people. Just like we say, when you're ready, the guru comes. And if you're insincere, you'll attract a bogus guru. So, you know, if we apply that principle, we'll attract all kinds of good or bad people into our life by how we think. Okay, Bhakti and Greg says, I'm being taught to have... Oh, I just lost it. Hold on, folks. Bhakti and Greg says, I'm being taught to have compassion and understanding for those who offend me by knowing that they are not in control of their self-being, and for their karma they are wreaking up themselves. Yes, that's true. But look at it this way. If you need to learn a lesson, there's also somebody out there that needs to do something vicious. So you guys will come together and have a party. So that's another way of looking at it. So, but understanding both things, I think it's good to understand both sides of the issue. That, you know, this person needed to do that or needed to learn a lesson by doing it, whatever. So both things are there. Bishnoi says, acknowledging the problem and accepting it is the first step in progressing beyond it. Yes. Acknowledging that the taking responsibility that in some way we're responsible for creating what happened to us. And, you know, I was married before and my wife left and I took responsibility for it, that I messed up and caused her to leave. And it was much easier for me to deal with it. If I had blamed her, it would have been much more difficult. And I saw what I did in retrospect. And, you know, sometimes a woman or a man have a very bad marriage and they remarry and they have a very good marriage because the person it's a different person. And they relate differently. So, okay, Bhakti Practice says, I think you have to accept the problem to be as it is. I keep losing this. I'm sorry. Accept the problem to be as it is because wishing it to be different causes more pain when it doesn't change. To wish for things to be different when they can't be is a waste of energy. Yes. It's a waste of energy, but accepting things to be the way they are start healing. Yeah. In other words, Patrick's saying, if you accept this is the way it is, then from there you start working on it. As we said in, I think it was the first show, one definition of forgiveness is to give up all hope for a better past. Should I write that down? To give up all hope for a better past. That's a definition of forgiveness. Interesting definition. So we accept that this happened, it can't change, it's history, and now how will I deal with it so I can go on in a positive way and be Krishna conscious? And also to be Krishna conscious means just materially I need to be peaceful, I need to be balanced, I need to be grounded, I need to be settled. And these things are very unsettling. And what happens also is we put a lot of energy into resentment. We you know, it's really interesting if you think about it. If you just become objective about it, like remove yourself from the situation and you think, okay, here's a person who's come into my life, who's done something that really has upset me. And because I'm upset about it, I think about it a lot. And obviously the more I think about it, the more upset I get. So now, from an objective point of view, you know, like an 8-year-old might come up to you and say, Daddy, if you don't like this person and the person upsets you, why do you always think about them? And you'd think, yeah, that's a good question. Why would I think about a person who upsets me? Like, I like to think about Krishna because when I think about Krishna, then I become peaceful, I become happy, I become inspired. And so many good things happen when I think of Krishna. I think of my spiritual master, think of the Vaishnavas, think of the holy places. So why would I want to think about a person that I don't even like? Why would I want to think about a person who causes me distress? Or at least, why would I want to think about that person if I do think about that person in a negative way? Doesn't make sense. Here's a person I don't like, and now I decide to take that person, put that person in my heart, and carry them around with me wherever I go. That doesn't make sense at all, does it? So looking at the process of forgiveness and acknowledging, okay, this is what happened, I don't like it, but certainly I have to deal with it in a positive way. And if I ever could come to the point of feeling positive about this person, that would be a great accomplishment in my life. As we said before, Bhakti Siddhanta said, you should only do the greatest good to your worst enemy. So that's spiritual life. Okay, let's go back to the chat. Gaps in audio. Is the audio better now? You still having a problem? Okay, if anyone's having problems, let me know. When can I ask a question? My, anytime. Just ask your question whenever you like. Okay. Alright, okay. Audio's okay. Okay, so now I want to go to the next topic. We have 12 minutes. And this is not going to take me long. And hopefully I can go more. I can go a little bit. Okay, let me go a little bit more. The world, you teach the world how to treat you. You think of that. You teach the world how to treat you by how you act. So if people are hurting you, consider maybe. Yes, what happens after we forgive? Yeah, that's what I'll come to next. Just consider that. Are you acting and thinking in a way that's attracting anything into your life that's causing you problems? And I think if you're married, you know, if you just have a change of attitude, your children and your wife or your husband, they'll deal with you differently. And when you have a certain attitude, you attract a certain kind of negativity. So I think we all have experience of this. You know, you just try tomorrow. Have a positive attitude or change your attitude about something. What I personally have been trying to do is see, I used to have a tendency to get negative in certain situations which were very difficult. And I'd always look at the difficult side of the situation, or I would look at how people were not helping me enough. And over the years, I've really overcome that, because if I think the situation is difficult and I think nobody is willing to help, or they're not putting out enough energy, or I don't have good people to help me, that's what keeps happening. Whereas when I think, no, there are ways to get around this, and devotees are nice and they're helpful and they're doing their best, then that things change. So we really have to look in taking responsibility for everything, how we are thinking, what we're saying, how we're dealing with others, in relation to how that attracts situations into our life. Because if we could attract more positive, if we're more positive with people, I can guarantee you're going to attract more positive situations into your life. You're going to have better relationships with people. So if we can attract more positive things, obviously that's what we want. Of course, as Prabhupada said, when you're spreading Krishna consciousness, you will attract negativity, because the positive is going to attract the negative. But in ordinary dealings amongst devotees, that's generally not the case. And if that is the case, even if we're acting positively, then we can say, well, how can I act in a different way? Or how can I deal with it, this devotee's reaction in a positive way, not take it personally, and not retaliate? So Maya is saying, how can I move outside the past and move more into focusing on Krishna? I feel stuck in a spiritual rut. Much of what you say rings true. Listen to all the classes I gave, or we're doing an online course. Because for those of you out there who've been deeply, deeply hurt, in other words, if you're at the point here, you've heard 11 classes and it's still like there and it's hard to get rid of, you should definitely take the online course, because it's going to go through a much more emotional cleanse. It's going to really go on a very, very deep level. And you're going to explore all kinds of emotions that are underlying other emotions that are underlying other emotions. In a certain point, it's just going to release a lot of negative energy. But what you can do also, you go to krishna.com/mahatma, and you can listen to all the past courses if you haven't listened, and see how that helps you. But what we're doing in these courses, what we're doing in the online course, will be much more interactive, and you'll actually have homework, and you'll get to explore all kinds of things that this format and this interface that we have here, we couldn't explore. And they're going to be the same people there every week, so you're going to be interacting with others. So there's going to be this whole support group, and people are going to be revealing you know, their particular issues, and a lot of people are going to share the same issues, and they're going to get to talk about it with one another. And so it's going to be really powerful. And if you know anybody who has issues with forgiveness that you think could benefit from this course, please let them know. You write me at mahat@aol.com, and then I can send you an ad. There's also an ad on Krishna.com, or you can call Japa. You can call 888-JAPA-108, and you can they can tell you about it. That's actually where you have to go to register. So classes are archived to view, but he's like 6 months behind. So I record separately all these classes, and then they get uploaded to Krishna.com, the audio. So that's the Krishna.com/Mahatma. It's just the audio. So then the past Japa courses, the classes I did on vows, and the 11 forgiveness classes we did, they'll be there. So sometimes it takes time, but if you actually can get in the mood that this person is my teacher and what do I have to learn, it changes your attitude from blaming to now looking at it and say, well, this is an opportunity for me to grow, and let me thank this person. This person is teaching me something. I don't know what they're teaching, but I'm going to find out. And that can release a lot of the negative energy, so you take it in a positive way. Now, this will lead into what I want to talk about. It's 8:54. My experience is, personal experience is, that once I underwent, whoops, I'm in a chair that's moving around. Okay, I'm going to get a little closer because this is important. Okay, let's get intimate here. All right. So, if you actually do the forgiveness process fully to the point, and I have a forgiveness check sheet. I don't know if we did it. Now, I have after I do my seminar, so you're going to have to come with the online course to get this sheet. But I do a forgiveness check sheet where you can go through, and maybe we did this, you can go through, and you can actually analyze if you've forgiven this person, because there are certain symptoms by which you can know. For example, if you stop telling the story, either to yourself in your mind or to others, that's a sign that you've forgiven. You no longer want to tell the story. So there's symptoms there. So if you actually do the forgiveness process fully, where now when you think of that person, there's no negativity, there's no negative feelings inside, it doesn't upset you, but actually you have positive feelings for that person. You realize they were just they're actually your teacher, they were the messenger of your karma. It was all good. Then of course you have to go through a lot to get there. But the point is, can you imagine this? Once you get there, then what happens next time you're in a situation where somebody hurts you? What do you think is going to happen? It's going to be so much easier to deal with because you've already gone through the process. You've already looked at it. You've already seen this person as a messenger of your karma, as your teacher, as someone. You've already become detached. You're able to let it go. You've become more compassionate. You don't want to hurt the person. You've learned how to be empathetic. Empathize with what they're going through. You've learned how to see it from their point of view. So all these things that you've learned to do to forgive a person, they all kick in when you're so-called being offended or hurt. So my personal experience, and I can't guarantee this will happen to all of you all the time, but my personal experience is that when I finally did the forgiveness process, I really never had resentment issues after that. And because to me it seemed like there was no need to have them any longer. And it was such a drain when I carried them. Then I would think, why would I want to do that again? You know, like you if you do something that hurts you and you overcome that or you heal yourself, why would you want to do it again? It doesn't make sense. So that's the big advantage, and I hope that's an impetus to you in your forgiveness process to realize that if I can do it with this one person, especially if it's really a big one, a really difficult one, if I can do it with this person, then I'm pretty much going to be floating downhill, and then when I come into difficult situations, it'll be pretty easy just to become detached and say, just how it is, that can't change. Just have to let it go. It's all there for a reason. And your heart kind of becomes like, it gets oiled, so things just hit it and they just slide right off. And so it's a really wonderful way to live your life. So, I hope you enjoyed this class. I think it was an important lesson. I think it's the culmination of lessons, of all lessons, that we attract into our life according to our mentality, according to our thinking, according to the way or the particular things that are going on inside of us. Some things we don't even know are going on inside, and things in our life are happening, but to see it in a positive way, that it's good that Krishna will send people to teach us. Well, I will be attending Toronto Rathiatra. I am so close to Toronto right now, but tomorrow I'm going to Los Angeles. And I'm going to be in Los Angeles. They're celebrating the 40th anniversary of the installation of Rukmini Dwarkadish. Not Rukmini Dwarkadish, Rukmini Dwarkanath, which are the small deities. So I'm going to be there. So I'm going to miss Rathiatra. So, but sparkle in the heart. I want to come to I want to come to Toronto. So talk to Vinod, Vrindavan Vinodini, and we're going to and tell her we can do many things up there. So Patrick's saying, I'm very happy with the last few weeks of class. Your message has helped me very much. I hope very much to hear more of you in the future. I'll be going back and watching a webcast. Thank you. Dr. Greg, great class. Thank you. It was important. You did well. Thank you. You're also encouraging. Have a safe trip. Thank you for the class. Just wanted to say hi. Jagadish. Thank you. And thanks for this. Remember me. I'm on your friends list. Chirag. I wish I would have found out about these classes sooner. Well, they've all been recorded, so. I've just discovered a great site. So what I want to say is this class on Vaishnava Aparad, what do I want to say about it? I hope that it will be as awakening to you as the class in forgiveness. And I think we have a big advantage now in doing the forgiveness process, because every relationship, for it to work, there needs to be forgiveness. But the reason I wanted to focus on the Vaishnava Aparad, because in my study of it, what I've come to realize is that without humility, we will always have the tendency to commit offenses. And humility is so integral to the process of bhakti, and humility is so difficult to develop. And part of what humility is about is, as I was saying tonight, looking at ourselves in an objective way, looking at the things we may not want to look at because they're not pretty. So part of what we're going to do in the forgiveness class is go more into this subject of humility and why it's difficult to look at our faults. And I believe that many of us have faults that we don't even know we have, because the ego is so big. And if someone makes us aware of those faults, it's very difficult for the ego to acknowledge that. So I want to talk about those things. Those will be very valuable for us personally. And also I want to talk about Vaishnava Aparad, because it can destroy our bhakti. So despite all the proper things we do, it can destroy our bhakti. So it's going to be a very powerful class. What I try to do in our classes is not speak about a subject in a vacuum, but I try to speak about it in a holistic way. So bringing in this whole topic of humility combined with Vaishnava Aparad, looking at Vaishnava Aparad, and looking at stories from the Bhagavatam, looking at the effects of Vaishnava Aparad, it's going to be very helpful, because it's, you know, the going into the whole subject of criticism, why we criticize, what's the reason why we criticize. Bhakti Siddhanta gave the reason, and I'm not going to tell you now until the next class. But he gave such a profound reason that the reason he gave, if you understand it and accept it, it can either stop you from criticizing or catch you in the act of criticizing and stop you then. It's very powerful. So I really want to go into this. It's going to really help you. If you think the forgiveness class was helpful, it's going to be as helpful. What I want to say is, next Tuesday, I'm going to be at my sister's house in Central California, and she does not have internet access, and she used to pick up internet access from her neighbors. So we're on the IF program. We're on the IF program, and so tune in at Tuesday at 8, and we will let you know if we're going to make it or not, and if there's, I don't know if Udi can email you all to let you know in advance, but I'll be going there Sunday, and then I can experiment with internet options. I think there's another devotee living near there, so it's perhaps I can go to their home and do it there. So I will do my best, and thank you very much. Hare Krishna, and we'll hopefully see you next Tuesday. Hari Hari Bol.